Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
that God is real today. Glory to God. How many know that there is power in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. We certainly thank God for Jesus. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for another wonderful opportunity to be in the land of the living. Amen. We say praise the Lord to each one of our callers and all of our listeners, those that may be tuning in a little bit later, and those that are live on the internet. Truly, we praise God for you. We're just so excited about this continuing series on why seek ye the living. I was about to say the dead, but we're not seeking the dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And we just have been privileged, and I tell you, if the Lord never move again, he has moved on Monday, he has moved on yesterday, and I'm expecting a greater move even today. And how do you know that God is moving? Amen. How do we know about Jesus? The people experienced Jesus laying hands on them. They experienced the miracles that he performed in their midst. So they were able to go back and share it with their family, share it with their neighbors. And that's what's been happening with this particular series. As people hear about it, they are sharing it with their family and with their friends and their sisters and brothers in Christ. And amen. And we're just thankful for the opportunity to be able to spread the good news. You know, some folks won't spread bad news, but we want to spread the good news. And the good news is that Jesus still saves to the utmost. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen. We're looking, Prophet Davis have been talking about the dead, anything dead needs to be buried. Amen. And if anything is not growing, then it's dead. And we want this ministry to grow. So I'm going to challenge each and every one of you all that have had the privilege to listen to these messages for almost 2 years. And we know we have impacted over 60,000 listeners, and we want to be able to spread this message and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ a little bit further. Amen. And we're working on getting these series transcribed into MP3 audio forms where you can download these particular messages and what have you. But how many know that it takes money to buy land? So today I'm going to ask all of our listeners to sow a financial seed, and that's what this seed is going to do. It's going to enable a company that we're working with to download some of these messages and put them on YouTube where we can reach a broader audience. Amen. And you can go to our website at www.newdestinyministries, that's plural, MINISTRIES.com. And we already have a PayPal account set up, and you can donate online, or you can send us a check or money order through the mail to New Destiny Ministries at P.O. Box 5702. And that is Stockton, California. The zip is 95205. It is a need. We want to get busy. We don't want to be stagnant. So anything is not growing, guess what? It's not productive in God's eyes. So there's some things that we want to do with this ministry. There's some things we want to do with this broadcast. So we're asking you today to sow. We want to get started on this project by the first week of November. Amen. And I talk extensively to the young lady that heads this company that's going to bring all this about. And Prophet Davis have been making a sacrifice, coming on this line, and we want this. We want everybody to hear this word. These are the type of messages need to be on TBN, need to be on the Word Network, need to be on the television stations. Amen. So we're going to try to push this. Amen. So we're looking forward to doing that. How many can I get to make a sacrifice and sow a financial seed? And it's no amount, whatever the Lord lay on your heart. Many of you have been on this line from the inception, and you know we don't come on here pumping and priming and begging, but we see the need for this ministry to grow. We see the need for these messages to get out a little bit further. Amen? Amen. So we're just honored today to have Prophet Davis back with us on the line today to continue with part three of this anointed word of God. I tell you, if you need some fresh oil, God has been giving him fresh oil, and he has been pouring it out on everybody that come on this line. And I tell you, it has spread, and it's continually to spread. I see people going back into the archives and listen to these messages. Amen. So we're doing something. Amen. And we're here to encourage and to empower and to inspire and to enlighten you for what God is speaking in this hour. Amen. So with no further ado, we're going to let Prophet Davis come on and allow him to open up with the word of prayer. And however the Lord lead him today, we're going to be attentive to that. Thank God I see Minister Aaron Singleton, Sister Kim, Sister Patrice, and another caller is on the line. We also have in our midst Sister Corinthian Jones with us today. So, you know, people call in a little bit later, but we're going to bring the man of God right on up where he can have ample enough time to do what God is inspiring him to do. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you. God bless everyone listening. Evangelist Bernard, thank you for your cooperation with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And he surely shall bless you for being obedient unto him. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, thanking you for loving us, thanking you for going to the cross, something we could never bear, and dying for our sins, and being whipped, beat, the beard being plucked out of your face, spat on, beat until you were unrecognizable, a crown of thorns being placed upon your head. We thank you for going to the cross, suffering, bleeding, and dying for us, and then being buried in a borrowed tomb. And of course, Jesus, we thank you that on that great day, that third day, you rose from the dead with all power in your hand. And there were people who came to look for you in a dead place. And you had two angels of the Lord to declare unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, as he said. So, Father, therefore, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We bind the works of the enemy. We bind the spirit of heaviness. We bind the spirit of lethargicalness. We bind the spirit of tiredness. We bind every spirit that's not of God in the name of Jesus. And we put you in cuffs, as it were, and shackles, as it were. And we gag you and we blindfold you so that you can't see, so that you can't speak. And we cast you out and command you to go in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So, Father, now loose your anointing. We thank you for the blood. We apply the blood of Jesus over this line and over each and every home, in each and every person, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we thank you for doing that which only you can do. Teach your word, Holy Spirit. Speak to your people. Give them what they need. Give them answers. Glory to God. Everyone that you want on this line, cause them to be on the line for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name, that they might hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Not what Michael is saying, but what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Therefore, we thank you and we glorify you even now for the things that you will do and what you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to go to Matthew chapter 21 to start off with. We're going to find out how Jesus handled a situation entering into the church, entering into the temple, so that you can see how Jesus handled a specific situation going into the church, dealing with the temple, and dealing with those people who were leaders of the temple and doing things according to their own way, doing things according to their own will, not doing things according to the will of God. So we're going to see exactly how Jesus demonstrated his power and his authority in this way. Glory to God. And this is how it reads. This is how it reads. Matthew 21, starting at verse 12 to 14. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, no weapon formed against your people shall prosper.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money exchangers and the seat of them that sold doves. Saints of God, when God's people need salvation, when God's people need healing, when God's people need deliverance, they're calling for $1,000 line. Glory to God. They're saying, who among you can give us $100? Who among you can give $500? Who among you can give $1,000? They're not calling for souls. They're not saying how many souls need to be saved. Bring those souls to the altar. Let's take time and make sure we get the people who need salvation or the people who need deliverance. Let's make sure we give them the proper attention. But I've seen it take up to an hour to raise an offering. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with money, but you don't put money before the souls, or you don't place a higher importance on the monetary things or the material things than you do the spiritual things or God's people. Glory to God. So what did Jesus say? He said, now these people, they were in the temple and they were doing business, glory to God, in the temple. They were selling doves, and they were selling lambs, and they were selling goats, and they were selling bullocks for the offering that they had to give as a sacrifice, glory to God, unto the Lord. But these were not things that they were supposed to sell in the house of God. They were not supposed to make an exchange of currency and to do their business in God's house. That was for the marketplace. Glory to God. There are many things that are happening in the house of the Lord that we ought not to be doing. Glory to God. In this case, what Jesus did, he saw it. And this was his response. And said unto them, in verse 13, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. There are so many churches now that don't even have a prayer service. There are so many churches now that don't have an hour of prayer. Glory to God. You go to the church and they pray for 5 minutes and then they start their service. They sing two songs for the praise and worship team, and then the choir sings two songs, and then they give announcements and they kill the service. Glory to God. The announcements are boring and they're dead and they have nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. And they take 15 minutes to do the announcements and they completely kill the anointing, and then somebody who's not anointed gets up and tries to sing a solo song, and then the preacher comes up. That's called tradition. This is the program of man. When they hand you a program and then they say in the bottom in small print, our service is subject to the divine leadership of the Holy Spirit. But you don't really see that happening. You see it just written down there so that people will say, oh, well, they yield to the Holy Spirit. But no, they don't. They stick with the program because they're looking at the clock. Jesus never dealt with the clock. Jesus never focused on the clock. They are so time conscious, they're saying, well, we only have time to say this or to do that. So therefore, the people can't fully receive everything they need. Now, I understand that they're not buying time because the building belongs to them. There's no zoning laws that cause them to leave at a particular time. They've come up with this strategy and this philosophy that says that the strand of attention attention of people is only a half hour. So they only try to preach for a half hour. But that's humanism. That has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. This is where they get this doctrine from, to teach people only for a half hour because they think they're only able to retain, their retention level is only for 30 minutes. They can only retain information that they've heard for 30 minutes. But we know that that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie to try to prevent the Holy Ghost from doing his work. That's why they instituted a clock in the sanctuary. Originally, there was never a clock in the church because God was not monitored by time. God was monitored by the leadership of the Holy Ghost, not the things of men, but the things of God. For they that are led by the Spirit are called the sons of God. Glory to God. But they've instituted the clock. They've bound the Holy Ghost and say, we don't have time for that. We have to get out of here. Glory to God. Where are you going so fast? To eat some chicken? Glory to God. So they don't take time at the altar with the people of God. In other words, the people who are lame, people who are sick, you rarely see them calling for healing. You rarely see them calling for people who have physical conditions to come at the altar and to have a prayer team to come and pray for them and lay hands and take time to minister healing, because sometimes healing is not 5 seconds. Glory to God. Sometimes it takes time. Jesus sat and prayed for the sick all night long. Glory to God. They laid the people in the street, and Jesus walked down the street and he touched each and every one of them and healed them all, the Bible says. So Jesus was concerned about the sick. He was so much concerned about the sick, he said, look, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Saints of God, our prayer life has to be in order. Dead people don't pray. Dead people don't spend time in the presence of God. Dead people don't fast. Dead people don't consecrate themselves. Why? Because they're not seeking life. They're seeking death. Don't have anything to do with a person that doesn't have a prayer life. Thank you, Jesus. Let me say that again. Don't have anything to do with a person that doesn't have a prayer life. I'm not talking about praying when you're in trouble. I'm not talking about praying when there's difficult circumstances that come about. I'm not talking about praying when someone dies in the family. I'm talking about praying always with prayer and supplications and letting your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Glory to God. But be anxious for nothing. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that your people will birth out a life and a desire of prayer in the name of Jesus. So in verse 13, Jesus said, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. The Holy Ghost is keep taking me back to the fact that there are many churches that they don't have a prayer service. They don't have an hour of prayer. They're not teaching the people to pray. That's how you defeat the devil. You defeat the devil in prayer. When you prayed up, his arrows don't hurt you. When you're prayed up, the warfare is not as intense. When you're prayed up, you have your shield of faith up, according to Ephesians chapter 6. Now take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because he's coming to try to kill your spirit. He's going to send people with a foul spirit to try to contaminate your spirit. That's why your prayer life has to be built up, so that when those arrows are shot at you through demonic people, through people who don't have a prayer life, through people who don't fast, through people who don't pray, through people who don't live holy, your shield of faith is up, and you can block the fiery darts that the enemy sends your way. That's why Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Jesus himself was a man of prayer. Why? Because he was seeking life. The people who seek life have a strong prayer life. Glory to God. How else are you going to get your answer from God? You get your answer from God through prayer. Glory to God. These kind only come forth by fasting and by prayer. Glory to God. When you pray and when you fast, believe me, there's power and there's strength that comes into your life. You're able to cast down the devil. You're able to cast down thoughts and imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. When you have a strong prayer life, you have the ability to walk through every trial and tribulation and stand tall through it all. Glory to God. But let's get back to the scripture. Jesus is saying that there was a lack of prayer in his house. People are not praying enough, so therefore their spiritual life is lacking. Their spiritual life is suffering. The way that you build yourself up is praying in your most holy faith, praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. You build yourself up that way. If you pray in tongues for a half hour every day, you're going to find yourself a lot stronger, and you're not going to get so easily agitated. You're not going to be so easily offended. Your emotions are not going to take control of your life. You're not going to be led by your emotions. You're not going to be so emotional. When you have a prayer life, the spirit will then begin to take over, because you're yielding, my God from heaven, to the Holy Ghost. When you have a prayer life, glory to God, you begin to be able to see that your strength comes from spending quality time in prayer. I heard somebody said the battle is not fought with your mouth or with your hands, but the battle is fought on your knees. The old folk, when I was in church, and glory to God, coming up, I would always see the mothers in their white dresses and getting the pillows and putting them down on the floor, and they would kneel before the pews and they would begin to moan. And I know the scriptures say, call for the moaning women of the church, glory to God, because the moaning women of the church, they knew something about prayer. They knew that prayer changes things. They knew that prayer would get an answer from God. They knew that prayer would cause the situation that they were facing in the church and in their personal life to be turned around literally by the hand of God. Any church that does not have prayer is a dead church. And we talked about, why seek ye the living among the dead? The first thing you need to know, when is the prayer meeting at the church? And how long are they praying? And is there any power in their prayer? And is anybody getting delivered in that prayer? Is anybody getting healed in that prayer? Because prayer is what goes directly to God. And then God answers the prayer of the righteous. Glory to God. And their petitions and their requests are set before him, and he looks them over, glory to God, and then he grants their request according to his will. But we know that it is his will for them who are sick to be healed. We know that's his will. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So once again, as we see in verse 13, God had a problem with people that didn't pray. In verse 14, after he said it's a den of thieves. People who are operating in death. You know, thieves are liars because they have to lie to steal. Mm-hmm. And they have to steal to lie. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so after that, in verse 14, Jesus says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. This is the picture. When Jesus turned over the table of the money changers and drove them out, his interest, his number one interest, was two things. First, the prayer life of his people, so that his people can be healed. The connection is there. God is saying that there is no way that people can be healed without prayer. First comes prayer, then healing is released to God's people. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Go with me to St. John chapter 8, verse 31. I want to show you my main text for today. St. John chapter 8, verse 31. My God from heaven, have your way today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. St. John chapter 8, verse 31. We're going to go through 47. I'm going to take it one at a time and ask the Holy Ghost to teach this thing for me, because I cannot do it. Glory to God. Then said Jesus to the Jews, which believed on him. Mm-hmm. Jesus is talking to people who say they believe in him. Jesus is talking to people that claim that they are followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus is talking to people that make you believe that they are in Christ. So Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Saints of God, it's not going to the altar one time and saying, God, I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. No, it's a continual lifestyle that God is looking for, so that if you truly believe in Jesus and then your life is hid in him, if you continue in his word, you continue to develop, you continue to learn, you continue to grow in the word of God. Then are ye my disciples. There's a condition to truly being a disciple of Christ. You continue in his word, you submit to his word, you grow to his, with his word, and then you become a true disciple indeed. Glory to God. And it's over the process of time. It's not a one-time event. The one-time event introduces you to Christ, but it doesn't guarantee that you're truly a disciple. You are truly a disciple when you continue in the things of God. Let's look at verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Glory to God. There's a connection here. Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word, if you study my word, if you meditate upon my word day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Glory to God. And they're cursed, literally. Those are the dead people that do not continue in the word of God, continue to develop, continue to grow, continue to discover the will of God for their life, continue to discover God's plan for their life. They have not submitted themselves to the will of God. These are dead people because their choices are choices after the flesh and not choices after life. These people who do not continue in the word, in other words, they don't search out the scripture to find out the truth. Glory to God. That's why in the next verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you continue in the word of God, as you grow and develop, you will come to know the truth, and you will be liberated from every demonic attack in your life. For every devil in your life, you will be liberated from them. You can actually be free because God says you can. You don't have to be bound with anything because Jesus came to set us free from everything. Somebody said, well, no, you always have something. Well, you may have a test or a trial, but that doesn't mean that you're going to have bondage in your life. That's a lie from the devil. There are some people that teach, well, this flesh is never going to be saved. Well, if your body is, if your spirit is saved, and your soul is saved, then your body is going to be saved because the body comes under subjection to the spirit. The body has to yield to the spirit man. The body doesn't control you. You control the body. So that's a false doctrine when they say, well, this flesh is never going to be saved. The devil is a lie. The flesh has to be crucified by the spirit. In other words, you walk in the spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So God is saying here, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Those are doctrines of devils. They're trying to get you to believe that you'll never be completely saved until Jesus comes. Well, the Bible says you will be free if you know the truth. Mm-hmm. If you know that you have already been set free, and all you got to do is receive it, believe it, and walk in it, then there's nothing that can hold you back. It's like being in prison, and your time is up, and the door is open, the prison door is open. But if you don't walk out of it, then you will remain in bondage. There are a lot of people who simply choose to remain in bondage. It's a choice. God says, I set before you this day life or death. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. So he puts it on the table before you, and he allows you to choose what life you want to live. If you want to be free in Christ, you can be completely free. The devil is a lie because it's the devil that brings you into bondage. God would never tell you in Galatians chapter 5, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Glory to God. If he didn't or couldn't set you completely free from all bondages, you don't have to have any bondage in your life, because bondage leads to death. And those are the grave dwellers, people that want to go into bondage and into captivity. Those are the people who desire death. They do not desire to live or to dwell in the spirit. It's uncomfortable for them. It's unfamiliar to them. They don't want to change their address from 1010 Flesh Avenue to, glory to God, to 101 Glory Boulevard. Hallelujah. The people who don't want to know the truth, they cannot be free. So they will remain in a dead state, glory to God, because the Spirit maketh alive. And God is simply saying to you, come and know my truth, know my ways, know my word, know my will, know my thoughts, know my plans for you. My plans are not to take you into bondage, but my plans are to make you completely free, to make you completely free. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. But you have to continue in the word. That's why if the church is not telling you that you can live a free life and that you don't have to stumble and that you don't have to fall and that you don't have to yield to sin, in Romans chapter 6 it says, know ye not that to whosoever you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You have the choice. The devil can only tempt you. He can't make you do anything. He can only set the pie before you, but he can't make you eat it. The devil is a lie. He can't force you to go into the dead dwelling zone. It's a choice that you have to make. And if you find yourself there, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Glory to God. So God is telling us clearly today, if you continue in my word, then are you truly my disciples? Glory to God. And if you're truly my disciple, then you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, I'm having fun over here. I don't know about where you at, but I'm having fun over here in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Verse 33. Now, these are the Jews that said they believed in Jesus. Now, listen to this conversation. This is a dialogue between these people who said they believe Jesus, who said they follow him, who said they've given their life to him, who said they're committed to him. Listen at the dialogue to who these people are. Watch this. Watch how God brings this whole thing out. This is amazing. Okay, so these are believers. He tells them, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And then he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? The first thing they do is start to reject his word. They claim to be a follower. Now, you're going to see how darkness come up on a person, and you're going to see how they become dead when they have confessed that they were followers of Jesus Christ. You're going to find out how people get into the dead zone and how they stay there and how they remain there and how they are dead. Jesus came to give them life. He just told them, look, if you stay in my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's life. He's saying, you will have life if you do what I tell you to do. This is what they said. They questioned him. They questioned him. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Look at who they related themselves to. Fine, they related to Abraham's seed, but God is going to correct them. Watch this. They answered, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered in verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Jesus went right to the heart. He went right to the heart of the matter. Basically what he was saying, you're sinners. Straight out. They said, well, we're not in bondage to any man. Jesus said, if whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Whoever commits a sin, and I just read that in Romans 6, whoever commits sin serves sin. See, it's a choice. Romans 6, I just quoted that, says, whosoever you yield yourself servants to obey, then his servant you become to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I feel a teaching anointing on me today. Thank you, Jesus. So they respond, Jesus continues to say this, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. He was letting them know that the Son had authority. Only the Son has authority to make you free, not a servant. The servant can't set himself free. You see, the servant can't, the master in slavery, the master has to make the decree that the servant goes free. The servant can't tell the master, I'm free. No, the master has to declare that the slave is now free to go. My God from heaven. It has to be one in a position of authority to decree and to declare by legal status and legal obligation that that individual or those individuals are declared liberated or free from any sin or obligation according to the price that has already been paid for them. A slave is someone that you purchase. You then own them. You then have the authority to declare whether they are free or not. Jesus paid the price on the cross at Calvary to declare and purchased our, he purchased us with his blood. He declared ownership over us. And so he is the one that has the authority to say whether or not we are free. And if he says we're free, then truly we are free indeed. So glory to God. In verse 35 he says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Glory to God. Verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Wait a minute. These were people who said that they believed in Jesus. These were people who said they were followers of Jesus. These were the Jews that he had talked to. Some were part of the Sanhedrin Council. Some were part of the Pharisees. Some were part of the Sadducees and the scribes. Glory to God. And these were men of great stature in the world. They had great connections. These were wealthy men. And then they said, we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to believe on him. And so as he had this discourse with them, he began to discover that they weren't really who they said they were. When you begin to try people by the word of God to see if they're walking in light or in darkness, you're going to discover who they really are only by the word of God, because how they receive the word is going to determine who they really are. Do they really believe in Jesus, or do they just say they believe in Jesus? Glory to God. Verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. People who don't accept God's word and who the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in, they will fight you, they will come against you, they will attack you, they will ridicule you, they will talk about you, only because of one reason. They don't have the word of God in them. I'm not talking about them quoting it, I'm talking about it being inside of them. When the word of God truly is planted in your heart, you no longer belong to yourself. It's not the struggle to live a Christian life. The issue is, do you really belong to God? That's what he was saying. He's saying, my word has no place in you, therefore you cannot respond to my word. You can't obey my word because it's not in you. And so you see people say, well, it's hard to live this kind of life. Well, the only reason it's hard for you is because the word is not there. If the word is there, then it's no longer you that live, but Christ that live in you. Ha! That's why you can't serve God in your flesh. You can't serve God in your own ability. Zechariah 4 and 6 says, it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. Now verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now, they claim that they were believers of Jesus. They had seen Jesus' ministry. They had seen the miracles that he had accomplished. They had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. These were men who saw the witness of the Holy Spirit operating in the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And even though they saw the miracles, even though they saw everything that he did, even though they saw the power being demonstrated from God, glory to God, they still doubted who he was. And not only did they doubt him, but they had unbelief to the degree that they argued against him. But they claimed, verse 31, to believe on him. Isn't that amazing? They claimed to believe on him. But in verse 38, this is what he says to these people who now these were Jews these men studied the law. They knew the word, in other words. But we're not dealing with the knowledge of the word. We're dealing with people who have God's spirit. In verse 38, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham believed on God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In other words, whatever God said to him, whatever God said to Abraham, that's what Abraham believed, and that's what Abraham did. So God is establishing a point. My ways are simple. Just do what I say. He says, if you were children of Abraham, ye would do the works of Abraham. Verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. My God from heaven. Saints of God, Jesus is saying something very simple here. That there are people who are going to try to convince you that they are walking with Jesus. There are going to be people that try to convince you that they are sold out to Christ. There are many leaders in the church that have this down. They know how to convince you that they're on God's side. But God was dealing with these people in such a way where they were being exposed that they were really children of the enemy. Verse 41, he says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. They once again were looking at things in the natural while Jesus was looking at things in the spirit. We have one Father, even God. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. My God from heaven. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my words. There are people that you're going to talk to concerning the word of God. And they will not hear the word. They will not accept the word. They will reject the word. And the key to them not accepting and rejecting the word is one thing. The love. He said, if you love me, you'll receive my word. You'll hear my word. Saints of God, the greatest commandment is you got to love Jesus. It's really simple. It's really a simple process. I can't simplify this enough. The process is so simple. He says the key to being alive and seeking life and not death is love. If there's no love in your heart, my God, if there's unforgiveness in your heart, if the true anointing is not in your heart, which comes from love, if the love of God is not there, you can't receive God's word, no matter what anybody says to you. That's why God is saying, why are you looking for people who are dead, who don't have love? If we can exchange dead for not having love, why are you looking for people who don't have love, where you should be looking for love? In the world, they say, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. If you don't look for love, I'm talking about the love of God, you're going to find death. Because in love, death cannot dwell. There's no death in love. As a matter of fact, love covers a multitude of sin. Love is forgiveness. Love is kindness. Love is meekness. Love is gentleness. Love is long-suffering. Love is patient. Love is kind. Glory to God. This is how Jesus is commanding his people to walk. What did he say? And this is how they shall know that you are my disciple, by the love you have one for another. Not even by the heavy anointing on your life, but by the love you have in your heart, one for another. These people said that they loved Jesus. They confessed to be a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ. And Jesus really just said, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to see if you really love me or not. And Jesus had this discourse with them to find out who they were. The issue in the entire body of Christ is one thing. If the people don't love you, how can they love him that they don't see? That's really the whole issue. If they say they love God whom they don't see, and then they see their brother who is of God, and they don't love him, how can they truly say that they love God? That's the acid test, saints. That's the true acid test. And this is what Jesus was bringing out to our attention. The bottom line between those people who look for life and those who are dwelling in death, it's one thing. It's only one thing. Whether or not they have love in their heart. I'm talking about not the human love, but the love that the Holy Spirit gives. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can give you the kind of love that will allow you to love your enemies. When they do you wrong, to overlook it. When they talk about you, to forgive them. When they ridicule you, to just keep walking. When they say all manner of evil against you, get on your knees and pray for them. That's the acid test, to see if you really are a child of God or not. All the other things, the gifts, the prophecies, all of those things, those are good, but that's not the real acid test. That's not the real acid test. The real acid test, the real determinant factor of whether or not you are a true child of God is, do you love? When people talk about you, when they dog you out, when they put you out of the church, are you still going to love them no matter what they have said, no matter what they have done? You see, because the real thing is going to be when we stand before God, he's going to say, well, it's not about what they did. It's about what you did. My God from heaven. Is it easy? No. But is it commanded of us? Yes. How do we accomplish this so great a task? How do we accomplish such a difficult task? It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. The Holy Spirit gives us the capacity, the capability, the ability to overlook faults, to overlook wrongdoing, to overlook those things, and to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. How is it possible to overlook the hurt, the harm, the ridicule, the judgment, the mistreatment, my God, the suffering, the pain, the heartache? How is it possible to do such a thing and just keep going forward and say, no matter what you did to me, I still love you. You can't stop me because my love is greater than your evil. My love, the love of God, is greater than your evil. Jesus himself, when he went to the cross, they nailed him to the cross after beating him, after spitting on him, after pulling his beard out, after putting that crown of thorns on his head. He prayed for him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Glory to God. If they did it to him, they're going to do it to you. But God don't ask you to return evil for evil. If you're going to walk after life, you got to return love for their hatred. That's the only way to prove that you're really with God. That's the only way to prove it. Because, see, they can't do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They cannot do it because this can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. The only way you can prove that you're a child of God is that the love in you has to be greater than the hatred in them. Glory to God. Saints of God, this is what he was saying to these people that claimed to follow him. He put them to the acid test. He said, the reason that my word has no place in you, it's the one thing that he requires, is that we love them that hate us. It's easy to love people that love you. That's easy. But then to love those that hate you and ridicule you and talk about you and tell you that you're wrong, that's the difficult part. That's the difficult part. But when you seek after life, when you look for life, that's the price that it's going to cost you. That's the price you have to pay. I've had to humble myself many times, even when I wasn't wrong. I'm going to tell you a story. I normally don't tell this, but I'm going to tell you a story. I was preaching in a church, and the Lord gave me a very strong word for a woman and exposed that she was into witchcraft and the whole thing. Just a strong word. And so the pastor called me and said, well, the woman was offended. And so I prayed. God said, listen what God told me to do. Now, I could have left it alone. But God said, go back and apologize to her. I said, but God, you gave me the word. He says, yes, I know. The word stands, but I want you to be clean. See? The word stood, but the issue was the person. So I went to her, and I said, look, forgive me if I offended you. Even though I was right, God said, take the wrong for the right. My God for heaven. In other words, suffer it to be so for now. There are times that we don't want to humble ourselves and take the wrong for the right. But that's pride, I'm telling you. And it's arrogance. We have to let it go, humble ourselves, go to those people no matter what they've said, no matter what they've done, tell them you love them. And there'll be a great release in your life. Why? Because the commandment is to love. That is the greatest of all. Not faith, not hope, but love. That is the greatest way and the truly only way. That's why he said, you shall know the truth if you continue in my word. The truth of the matter of being free, the only thing that can free a human being on this planet is love. The only thing that can free a human being on this planet is love, because it was designed that way. That's why Jesus had to come. St. John 3:16, you know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The only way to conquer every enemy is love. That's how Jesus conquered the devil on the cross. It was love that kept him on that cross. It was love that caused him to pray and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love conquers every enemy. There's no accusation against love. Huh? Not even the devil can accuse you when you love. That's why he said, only the Son can set you free. How does Jesus set you free? By commanding you to love, and you're immediately liberated. There's no bondage in love. There's no darkness in love. The only place that death abides is where love is absent. My God from heaven. Whew. The only place where death abides is where love is absent. In order to seek life and avoid death, all of those people that go to hell is because of one reason. There's no love in them. There's no love in them. That's the reason that they go. Because they reject love. And all Jesus came to do was to love on people. And he proved it. He said, I'm going to come and die for you. I'm going to come die in your place. I'm going to come pay. I'm going to come pay for your sins. I'm going to come pay the price. You messed up. I'm going to come pay for it for you. I'm going to take care of it for you. All I ask you to do is to love the people that hate you. Love them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. It don't hurt you. It don't cost you nothing. God is not telling you to go give them $1 billion. He's just telling you to forgive them and love them. Go to them and say, look, I love you. It don't matter what they, if they spit on you. So what? Is it going to kill you? No. Go and do likewise. This truly, I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I feel a release. I feel a liberty in the spirit that the conclusion of this message had to deal with love. I don't know what it is. I don't know who it is. I don't know what's going on. But God knows, and he had to make it clear to you in order to dwell in life, in order to seek after him, in order to come and look for him. He got off the cross. He got out of the tomb. He stands in the place of eternal life. What is the place of eternal life? That's the place of eternal love. That's the place where you forgive the people that did you wrong. That's the place where you overlook their wrongdoing. That's the place where you don't hold it against them no more. That's the place where you say, I don't care about what you did. I'm going to follow Jesus. I still love you. If you need me, call me. Glory to God. Wouldn't that be something if somebody came against you, cussed you out, slapped you in the face, spit on you, and you went up and bought them a gift and then hugged them and said, look here. If you need me any further, here's my number. Give me a call. It doesn't matter what you did to me. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. That's why God called me, because he knew you needed love. I don't know who don't love you, but if you need love, just give me a call. I'll give you a hug when you need it. I'll pray for you when you need it. I'll talk to you when you need it. I'll be your friend if you need it. If you want to go have coffee, I'll go with you too. Glory to God. Love is greater than anything else. So, saints of God, I think it's very important that we understand the simplicity of the truth. And this truly is what will make us free. If we walk in love, we walk after life. But if we are loveless, we are walking in death. My God from heaven. Offenses are going to come. Let me say this in conclusion. Offenses are going to come. People are going to talk about you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to misjudge you. They're going to treat you wrong. They're going to lie on you. They're going to slap you in the face. They tried to kick me out of a church before. I got on my knees when they came at me. They tried to kick me out of a church. For no reason. Now I'm telling you the truth. I mean, a big church, too. I'm on the front row. Worshiping God, the founder of the church came to me and said, we don't want you here. Now, I knew it was the devil. I mean, the devil can even use a person of that stature, you know. You know what I did? I didn't say nothing to the lady. I mean, she's a highly respected woman of God, has a Bible college and a great ministry, highly respected all over the world. I didn't say nothing to her. You know what I did? I was on the front row. I collapsed and fell on my knees. And God began to send people to her and shout peace over her. Yeah, they began to shout peace. So she came to me, she grabbed me by my pinky and said, we don't want you here. Get out of our church. I said, well, God didn't tell me to go. I just bowed. I went straight to the ground. I mean straight. I mean I went straight to my knees. Straight, I didn't say a word to her. God is my witness. I went straight to my knees. See, when you do that, they can't touch you. Because it wasn't her. It was the devil using her. And I went straight to my knees, and as I was on my knees, I cried out to the name of Jesus, and God began to send people out of that congregation, people who had the prophetic gift that she knew, that she respected as prophets. And they came to her, and they began to prophesy peace over her and over that house. And she went back to her seat, sat down, and left me alone. Saints of God.
And then
at the end of service, I went over there and gave her a hug.
Woo!
I went over there, I gave her a hug. I said, God bless you. I went on home. Got me some chicken. Saints, I'm telling you, there's no greater freedom. Trust me. And then look at the word. If you continue in my word, the issue is love. Those men didn't know him. They said they were believers, but they didn't know him because the love wasn't in them, so the word could not remain in them to actually function according to God's commandment. It's not us that keeps the commandment. It's the word of God in us mingled with the Holy Ghost that allows us to keep God's word. So, saints of God, the evidence in this case is love. That's how you're going to defeat the enemy. That's how you're going to separate yourself from death dwellers. People that operate in death, they don't have love. They will not do this. They'll go, oh, no, I'm not forgiving nobody. Oh, no, I'm not going back and saying nothing. You see?
Woo! Holy Ghost is speaking.
God had to tell me many times to go back to people that were wrong and to forgive people. There was I'm going to tell you another story. See, I'm a witness. I was at a church and I was scheduled to minister on a particular Sunday. I did a Wednesday night Bible study and it was powerful. A woman got healed of cancer. It was a powerful meeting and the pastor was out of town. He was in Ohio. And he had asked me to do the Sunday service. Before I could do the Sunday service, there was a woman that called the church and made up some stuff, lied and said all kind of crazy stuff. I mean, it was some good lies she told. I mean, it was some good stuff, you know. It wasn't just regular, but it was some good stuff. So much so the pastor called me on Saturday night and said, man of God, we cannot allow you to go forth. We have some accusations and we have to investigate them. I said, well, pastor, the word of God says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But you can't sit a man of God down on one person's word. And so he said, well, we have to do this. And so I'm going to check it out. So I said, okay, that's fine. And I knew who the person was. I knew who it was. I knew who the person was that did it. I wanted to go over there and shoot him. God said, don't touch him. And he said, don't say nothing to him. He said, don't say nothing. Don't touch him. Don't do nothing. And today, watch this. I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing. I left it alone. I put it in God's hands. I'll no longer associate with that church because they didn't handle it properly according to the scriptures. And I didn't say anything to them. I just left. I said, okay, I'm gone. The woman to this day calls me and asks me for advice. To this day, she calls me and she asks me for advice. When you do what God says, when you love people the way God says, when you forgive them and let it go, and if God said don't touch it or don't say nothing, do that. When you do what God says, don't you know he'll turn that person's heart?
Woo!
And they'll have to come back to you.
Jesus.
They'll have to come back to you, and she's asked me for prayer. I've prayed for her. She's been on the phone, and I said, look, let me pray for you. I said, look, let me pray for you. And she said, thank you, because I was going through. Now, look, she just had a heart attack. Now, whether that's God doing that because of judgment or what, that's not my business. My business is to love. You know what I'm saying? My business is to love them. But she had a heart attack. She told me about it, and glory to God, she's fine now. But I still prayed for her. Now you see how God works. She was the one that told me she had it. She told me. She said, "This is what happened to me." I said, "Thank God you're alive." And you know what she said to me? She said, "After that, I wanted to get closer to Jesus. God knows how to take care of your enemies. You don't have to touch them. All you got to do is love them. I'm telling you what God will do. If there's anybody you need to get it straight with, whatever they did, go ahead and straighten it out. Don't worry how long ago it's been, 4 years, 5 years, 2 years, 1 year. Go ahead and tell them you love them. Call them, text them, email them, whatever you got to do. Just tell them you love them. Forgive. And if you have to, take the wrong. Say, look, I was wrong. Say, I was wrong. It's my fault. Take all the responsibility. And then set them free. And by setting them free, you'll set yourself free. Amen? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's my word for today. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Woo! Glory to God. I didn't know I was going there, but the Holy Ghost took me there.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
No greater love.
No greater
than a man had, than he lay down his life for a friend. Thank you, Jesus. 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 The true way, saints of God, the true way to seek after life, you cannot leave out love. You can't leave it out. You cannot leave love out, because if you don't go after life, which is love, really, to be honest with you, there is no life without love. Okay. If you don't go after life, the heart becomes hardened. The heart becomes hardened. And when the heart becomes hardened, then you become callous and cold. And when you become callous and cold, that's the doorway or the gateway for the enemy to come in with death. You see? And that's what he wants. That's why he sends these offenses. And if you understand it fully, you'll laugh at it. You'll laugh at it because you know it's sent by the enemy to try to get you to turn your heart cold. And you go, I'm not falling for that trick. No. Let me call him right now. And look, brother, forgive me. I was wrong, man. You were right. You need anything, call me. You know, that's how you do it. Tell the people you were wrong. Whatever it takes, humble yourself, and God will exalt you. My God from heaven. So this is the key, the ultimate key, the ultimate key in seeking life and not death. This is, you know why? The unbeliever can't do it. Those people that we talked about in the Bible, those men, those Jews that said they were believers in Jesus, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And that's the acid test to find out who's who. That's the real acid test to find out who's who, because these things are going to continue to happen in our life. People are going to talk about us. They're going to lie on us. But how often do you hear these preachers on TV telling the people to love them? Just love them. Go hug them. You hug them, all that stuff will fall off. My God, you go hug them and say, look, I was wrong. They know they was wrong, but you go ahead and take the wrong for the right. You see, if any man have an ought, or even if you think they have an ought, go to them. That's what the Bible says. Leave your gift at the altar. Go to that person. Thank you, Jesus. I give you the glory. That's the word of the Lord for today, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Maltanda, yeah, yeah, oh, oh, oh. My God, you're my hiding place. Yeah. I really sense a sweet anointing on the line. I really sense a sweet anointing. God had me to go into teaching mode and just stick with teaching today. No preaching, but there was a reason, and there's a sweet anointing. I really believe there's a healing happening in the hearts of people. Because of offenses, because of unforgiveness, and also because of maybe a lack of love. Because truly that is the primary ingredient in following life. That eliminates religious folks, I'm telling you. Religious folk don't love. They're full of legalism. They don't know nothing about love, folks. They'll crucify you. 1 minute they'll be saying, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. The very next moment they'll be saying, crucify him. Huh? That's the religious folk. They'll kill you. Yeah. I'm telling you. That's what they do. That's what Jesus was saying. Y'all trying to kill me. They religious. They don't love him. But in the beginning they were saying that we are your believers. We're your disciples. See? One point they're saying we're your disciples. The next minute they're trying to kill him. See? And Jesus said, because you don't have love in you. You don't have love in you. That's why you act like that. That's your only problem. You don't have love. Because if you had love, not only would you know me, but you would follow me. That's the only problem, saints. That's the only problem. Love. When love is right, everything else is right. I mean, those of you who are married, you know that. When your love is right, everything else is right. When you love the person in the kitchen, in the living room, in the dining room, in the den, in every room of the house, when there's love in that house, everything is right. I mean, you can feel love when you walk in a home. You walk in a home, you know love is there. And God is love. Amen? Shandere Kobai. Just give me 1 or 2 minutes to just be free in the Holy Ghost. Maltenda kai abaresosk panda karabasik maltare shabai malkere sharai si kande roso rabasik shilverasai ande kotai hai. I rebuke doubt and unbelief. It's called singing in the spirit. You are my hiding place. You always feel my heart with love for deliverance, and I shall not ever be afraid. I will always love you. I will always love you. Even when I feel weak, you are strong, but I will love you anyway. Man, if we can get this together, if we can really get that love together by the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, it will change your life. It will make you another person. To Jesus belongs the glory. To Jesus belongs the glory. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. What a word, what a word, what a word. Hallelujah.
Really, you know, that's the wisdom of God. Did you know love is the wisdom of God? Love is the wisdom of God. See, because a foolish person will never think to love an enemy. That's wisdom. See? Mao kata remando.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. I'm ready to pray for some people.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank God for Prophetess Harrison is on the line. Open up the line. Woman of God, one of my spiritual mothers in the gospel. God bless you, Prophetess Harrison.
Hello?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, daughter. I was out riding with Bishop, with my husband, and the Lord just spoke to my heart. I saw that Prophet Davis, I believe it is,
yes,
was going to be on today. I was going to come on yesterday, and I was very, very busy yesterday. I had a full day yesterday, so I wasn't able to come on yesterday before. But I said, Lord, when I saw this, the third part, I said, now, Lord, I don't want to miss everything that you're saying to your servant.
Hallelujah.
So, me and Bishop, my husband, we're sitting here in the car.
My
God. Listen to what the Lord has said, and our soul has rejoiced. And I can truly say also, and Evangelist Bernard, my daughter's a witness of this, that I have experienced what you have experienced also, Prophet.
Yes.
And I chose to love.
Yes.
Love is a choice.
That's it.
Just like we choose to want Jesus,
yes,
you have to choose to love. You have to choose to forgive. You have to choose to do it. And I myself have been put out of churches, and I have gone back and said that I love you.
That's it.
I have gone to hospitals and prayed for people. They sent for me that have done me wrong. And I have learned, learned that when you humble yourself and you choose to do it the way God says do it, I am a living witness, just like you are, that God will bless your life. He will anoint your life, and he will raise you up when you choose to do it his way. I listened at you as God was using you as you were sharing your different testimonies, and I heard the Lord say, he's ministering, even before you gave your example, the Lord said he's ministering from his own pain, from his own experiences.
That's
and when
it.
You minister from your own experiences, it has greater effect because you're not going by what you heard. You're going by what you have experienced.
That's
and
it.
I listened at you, and I just began to smile. And me and my husband were just looking at each other, just smiling, because we know for a fact that you must do it God's way. I've had people do me so bad, Prophet, but when I see them, I go up to them and I tell them, I love you.
I've called
people and told them that I love them. I've gone up to people in services and told them that I love them, knowing they have talked about me, I have been the meal at their dinner table, knowing that I have been the discussion over their phone line. I think what they fail to know and hear is that God gave me an ear to hear up on my bed. I can hear your conversation.
But when I see them,
they will never know I heard the conversation. I have nothing but love for them. And what you were saying, I've had people do me bad, but then they calling me now to pray for them,
pray for their family.
I pray for them, Prophet, with all the love in my heart.
Thank God.
Go see them if they're sick. I say, if you need me, call me. If you need me to help you, because I chose to walk in love. I chose to walk in forgiveness. Now, what you do with it after I tell you I love you,
that's between you and God. I chose
to do it because I made up my mind, you know, like you said, Word of God said, this is will come. And I realized, Lord, they did it to Jesus.
They did it to Jesus,
they're going to do it to us. But I always try to look at how Jesus handled things.
That's it.
I ask God, let me handle things and respond the way you responded. And you responded in love.
In love.
So I've enjoyed listening to this, and I thank God for this because I'm a living witness that when you choose to do it, God's way, God will bless your life. And people have even asked me, well, how can you love them and you know that this and that? And I said, because
how many times have I hurt Jesus? Yes.
How many times that I offend
Jesus?
How many times did I displease and brought pain to Jesus?
Hallelujah.
So what did he do?
Hallelujah.
He yet loved me.
Hallelujah.
He yet loved me.
Hallelujah.
He yet loved me. So
Hallelujah.
If Jesus can love me, I can love my brothers and my sisters, you know.
Amen.
And I've gone to people when I know they didn't want me to come to them, and go to them and hug them anyway. And you just feel their heart melt. And then some of them have fell on me, and they just start crying.
Yes.
And I said, Lord, I know. The Lord said, that's their way of telling you they're sorry. And
that's
I just go on with life. You know,
you just go on
and you serve God because,
you know,
Jesus tells us it will come.
It's
he didn't tell us who was going to come through.
He
just told us it was going to come. So, you know, as much as Christ has suffered in the flesh, he told us to arm myself likewise.
All right,
so we have to prepare for it. He says it's going to come. Sometimes it's who it comes through that brings us the most pain and
the most sorrow because we don't expect it to come.
I would say to the church family.
That's right.
The sinner's okay, but when it comes to your church, family, you know, when pastors put you out of churches
and
God has put you there to help build up their ministries and they put you out, that causes pain. But I have to realize nothing happens unless God allow it.
He allows it to happen. That's it.
For whatever reason he allowed it. And I brought a message on Sunday God told me to bring to the church. There's a purpose for your pain. Pain on purpose.
Glory.
Pain on purpose. He allowed pains because he has a purpose. There's a purpose for the pain. So I have enjoyed the word of the Lord today. I love your singing in the spirit. I sing in the spirit. It just blessed me just sitting here listening. He just spoke to us while we were out riding. Come on. And just listen, and I thank God
Lord
for your Heavenly Father. I thank you for your manservant today, Lord. I thank you for the word of God because you are love. And if we don't have love, Lord, we have nothing. You know, the Spirit tells us over in Corinthians, you know, though we speak with the tongues of angels.
Come on.
And have not love, it profits us nothing. Though we give our bodies to be burned, God. Though we give our good, if we have not love, it profits us nothing. You said prophecy will cease. Everything will cease. But if we don't have love, God, it profits us nothing. So, Lord, I praise you for your manservant today and continue to use him, God, to spread the message of love. Spread the message of love. And I thank you, Lord, how through all that he's gone through, how you have yet healed his heart and you have fortified him, God, and you've given him so much love and so much compassion. For your people. You have so much compassion for the people of God. You can hear it when you minister and when you're teaching. So much love. Glory to God. So, Lord, we bless you today for him, and we bless you for Evangelist Bernard today. Truly, this was a word from the Lord that everyone, the nation, the world, even the government should have heard this message. Those the leadership should have heard this message, pastors and bishops should have heard this message on today, God, to motivate us, God, to love you and to love your people, God. Help us. I always say, prophet, I always say, if I can't do anything else while I'm on this earth, I say, Lord, let me teach people how to fall in love with you. Because if we fall in love with the Lord, we won't have any problem loving one another.
Yes, that's right.
If we love God, we'll love one another. God is love.
That's him.
God is love. How can you say, like you said earlier, you have God and hate me? You don't have God if you hate me.
That's right.
You see, and we have to really examine examine this. We've never seen God. We serve God by faith. We serve him. We have the Spirit inside of us.
That's right.
We have never physically seen God, but we see each other every day. I can't say I love him and can't speak to you. I don't have God like that. So I praise God for the word of God on today. God is just amazing. I'm asking God, Prophet Davis, to just continue to bless your life.
You've
been in my mind. I've been praying for you
since
I was on the broadcast the other day.
God to really bless you and raise you up.
You're special eyes of God and what
God is doing in
your life. He's going to take you even greater and even farther. Many people don't understand you and not going to understand you. And to people, you're strange. But I have learned God makes us strange for a reason. I don't mind being strange. I like being strange. I like being peculiar. I was walking through the store. The wash house. And this man passed by me, and he was all around me. I said, "Now, Lord, my husband wasn't with me." I said, "Let me start praying." And so he came up to me. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I know you was wondering why I was looking at you and following you. But I want to ask you," he said, "are you saved?" I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "What makes you ask that?" He said, "When you walked by me, I felt something come out of you and went into me."
My God.
He said, "I throw God, there's something about that lady." He said, "I walked by you again." He said, I felt it come out of you. And
my
went into me. He said, "God spoke to me, said that she belongs to me. She's saved." He says, "I had to just come and ask you, are you saved?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You have the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Yes, I do." So God, that's why I say, God's Spirit inside of us.
My God.
Everywhere that we go.
My God.
He's going to let somebody feel him.
If we are genuine,
his love is genuine in us,
God,
we don't have to tell nobody that we know Jesus. He's going to let people know. So I ask God to bless you, Prophet Davis, and may heaven smile upon you, and may God give you the desires of your heart. May God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, for even allowing him to even be on your broadcast. What a blessing to the body of Christ he is. And I know God's going to continue to bless him. So God bless you both on today.
And may I just say a quick prayer
at 3 o'clock.
May I say a quick prayer for you and your husband?
Yes, I'm gonna put him. Let me put one earpiece on him, one part of it, so he can hear you. Okay,
amen.
He's on the line. This is my husband, Bishop Harrison.
God bless you, Bishop Harrison.
God bless you.
Amen. In the name of the Lord, I count it an honor and a privilege to say this brief prayer for you and your wonderful wife, the Prophetess Harrison, also. And Father, I just pray that in their latter years, as you rain down even a greater glory on both of them, that you would expand their influence, not only in this country but around the world. And, Lord, that you would allow that influence to touch the hearts of other leaders, glory to God, and teach them how to walk in humility and integrity and in love and glory to God, and how to carry the anointing, my God. And, Father, I thank you that you will raise up conferences where they are able to teach and to also teach husband and wives in ministry how to dwell together in knowledge and away from the pulpit and away from the people, how to conduct themselves so that not only will their ministry shine in front of the people, but their ministry will shine behind closed doors and in private. So, Father, I thank you for these doors being open because you have trained them, they are seasoned, and you have established them. And there are other young pastors and ministers that need what you have deposited in them. And I thank you for releasing that for your glory, your honor, and your namesake. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you, Prophet. And what you don't realize, Bishop and I are preparing for that right now.
My
we have already been asked. to come do a conference seminar to some couples. So we're in the process of doing that.
Woo-hoo!
God gave that to Bishop last year.
Hallelujah.
And he's working on that now to talk to husbands and wives how to dwell together in love and harmony inside the house, because it affects the ministry. If there's disharmony in the house, it will show in the ministry. And God is already preparing us, and we're working on that right now. So I know only God could have given you that. Can Bishop greet you all?
Yes, please.
All right. Just a moment.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Prophet.
God bless you, sir.
Yes, sir. And Sister Bernard also.
Yes.
And
may
God bless you. May God bless her. May God strengthen you.
Yes.
May God take you through. May God always smile upon you.
Yes.
God really loves you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says, I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am the beginning, the first, and the last. God wants you to be encouraged and hold your head up.
Yes, Lord.
You are somebody.
Yes.
In the outside of God.
Yes,
and
Lord.
In the eyesight of people.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God is with you all the way.
Yes, Lord.
Always.
Yes.
Even into the end of the world.
Yes, Lord.
May God add extra years to your life.
Yes.
Glory to God.
I see many souls being saved, healed, delivered, and set free.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I see you traveling. Prophet.
Yes, Lord.
Traveling, going to different countries.
Yes, Lord.
Many souls being saved.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I see you standing on platform.
Yes, Lord.
Just stretching your hand forth.
Yes.
Not even touching the people.
Yes.
Peoples will be slain in the spirit. Just
yes.
Out. Yes. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Jesus. Thank you.
Father God, I thank you for the supernatural power.
Thank you,
yes,
Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
God is going to answer a prayer request that you have been praying and been talking to God about.
Yes.
And God hasn't forgot about that prayer request.
Thank you.
The answer is coming very soon.
Oh, God.
Very soon, very soon, very soon. Many vessels will be blessed.
Hallelujah.
Through your ministry.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you. Bernard, Evangelist Bernard, be of good courage, be of good cheer, hold your head up.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Keep doing what the Lord has called you to do.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you.
Don't get close to too many people.
God, yeah.
Yes.
Because everybody don't mean you no good.
Whew. My God.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You has been called to be set aside, Evangelist Benoit.
Hey.
You have a great work to do for God. God wants you to get in a hurry and do what he has called you to do. And do not listen to the negative spirits. Do not. God will see you through. God will give you answers. He will give you the victory. If you hold your peace, he said he'd fight your battles. May God bless you, Evangelist Benoit. God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Bishop Harrison. Thank you.
Evangelist Bernard, there is something that you have been praying and you have been talking to God about. About I believe it's your sister.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Keep praying. God hasn't forgot about her situation.
Oh, man.
God is going to send somebody her way very soon to speak to her and to speak up. Someone is going to someone in the high places. And look for her to be released.
All right.
The end of 2014. Because she has stayed there too long.
Hallelujah.
And she should have been out.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And you keep this to yourself, Evangelist Fenora.
Thank you, Jesus.
God has spoken to you. Do not share this with nobody.
Thank you, Lord.
Please, please, please. Let from this day forward, let your words be yea and nay.
Yes.
Jesus. Yes. I don't know. We'll see you.
Both of you.
Yes.
Both of you be blessed.
Yes.
God loves you. May He always smile upon you.
I receive it.
Oh, Jesus.
And prophet?
Yes, sir.
I'll see you in a beautiful church building very soon. Just go pick a building out. Do this by faith. And ask God for His divine favor.
Yes.
Because you is a meek and humble person.
Yes, sir.
You do not do a lot of talking. But there is strength and power in your voice.
Yes.
And people should take heed.
Yes, Lord.
When God speaks things through you.
Yes.
It isn't you. It is the article of God. It's His words.
Yes. Thank you.
That's flowing through your spirit.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. And God, we thank you for the supernatural.
Yes.
Supernatural power before the rapture take place.
Glory to God. Thank you,
Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you.
Yes, I receive it.
God bless you.
I receive it. Bishop Harrelson, thank you. Bishop Harrelson, thank you. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
God
Jesus.
Bless you. God bless you, Prophet. We have to go pick up our daughter from school. But we thank God for you. And I'm glad God allowed us to just pull over.
Yes.
So let's pull over and park the car and call in. So we thank God. God knows all things. And God, I'm going to ask that you pour back into him everything that he poured out today, God.
Yes.
We know this was the perfect message for today.
Yes.
And we also know that everyone don't receive this message, Lord, but this is the message of Yahweh that we walk in your love. And we let your love control our very being. So I'm asking that you continue to bless him on this day.
Yes.
Keep him eating healthy like you told him, Lord.
Yes.
Keep him walking in obedience, Lord. Encourage Evangelist Bernard's heart today, Lord, and just bless her. Now, I want to say this Bishop wasn't at the house when I was on the line the other day. So he don't know anything God had me to say.
Wow.
Prophet or Evangelist Bernard. So as God was speaking to him, I was just smiling. I said, God, he wasn't there.
God is amazing.
So God knows how to send some of his word again. God,
oh, yes.
So amazing. You all be blessed, okay? We're going to have to go pick her up. And I
thank
love you. God bless
you,
the prophet.
Okay,
I pray God
you.
Will bless us to meet, okay?
Amen. Very
hallelujah.
Soon.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. God bless
okay.
you now.
Okay.
All right.
Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. Thank
what
you,
a
God.
Mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Thank what a mighty God
you.
We serve.
Out your mouth. God help me to tell him and her.
Hallelujah.
I like to talk to
what a mighty
like
God we serve.
Look at that yard, thank you.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Now you know.
What an anointed, powerful couple of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. I receive every word of it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, amen. I have Sister Corinthian here. You asked for her to come on the line. She has something to say about her.
Yes.
First, give honor to God, to all whom honor do. I so greatly appreciate God for the word that went forth today, and it really blessed my soul. I was I went to water aerobics this morning, and I was talking to one of the other sisters in the water aerobics, and we were just talking about different things that have been transpired, that transpired last night at my home. And she was just telling me, she said, you know what? She said, you're missing the mark. She said, it's something that, she said, it's something you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing. She said, you're missing the mark. I kept saying, Lord, I said, I don't know what it is I'm missing. I said, but God, whatever it is I'm missing, please don't let me be ignorant. Let me know what it is so I can do what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I thank and appreciate God for the word that went forth, that word, you know,
my
love.
God.
And if we don't have love, we don't have nothing. We're with love. The Bible said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee, and I haven't been showing a lot of compassion and a lot of love because of just of so many different things, so many, just like you said, offenses and hurts and different
yes.
things like that. It's something how you can forgive somebody else if they hurt you, but then when it's somebody closer to you, you know, it's much harder. It seems like it's much harder to forgive, but I thank God for working on me, and I thank God for restoring love, the love that I need to have and the love that I need to show. I thank God for restoring love, and I'm just seeking those things today because I'm expecting God to just restore love in me, and I just thank God for all things in Jesus' name.
What is his name?
His name is Anthony.
Anthony?
Anthony Jones.
I'm going to pray for him now. Hold on, let me write it down. Father in heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus, because it is true what you said, that you hold the heart of the king in your hand and you turn it whithersoever you please. Father, I ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the same Jesus of Nazareth that walked upon the face of the earth and ascended up on high to seat at the right hand of the Father, that if you would find favor in our prayer, that you would stretch forth your hand to Anthony, and that you would turn his heart to you. And as it were, let the love that's in you siphon into his heart. Lord God, so that he will know you, and most of all, know love. And that the anger and the frustration, the disappointment, and even the rejection and hatred that's in his life would go in the authority of the name of Jesus.
Go in the precious name.
And Father, I thank you that he needs to cry.
Oh, my God.
He needs to cry to get it out of him. Bring him to the place where he will cry and let it out. And after that, fill him with your love. But turn his heart first, Father. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate you for those prayers, and I receive it, and I'm expecting God to do above and beyond what we could even think or ask, in Jesus' name.
Oh, it's done. Believe me, it's done. And don't be surprised if you see him crying. Let him do it. Let it go, because it's got to come out.
And that's how it's going to come out. So when it happens, don't think it's strange. Don't try to go and comfort him. Let it come out.
Amen.
That's how it's going to come out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory to God.
We're going to area code 682. The last four of your number is 2444. Can you greet us, caller?
Hi, this is Joanna.
Who is it?
Joanna.
Hi,
Joanna. God bless you.
Hello. Thank you for the word. It was so awesome. I got on, I don't know, it's been a while ago that I got on, but I just wanted to say thank you because to me right now, I'm real kind of like studying intercessory and praying and trying to understand, you know, because I realize the word is not for unbelievers, it's for believers.
That's right.
And it's kind of sad because I've been giving word too, and I've been getting rebuked, and it hurts.
Oh.
And I'm just like, God, you have to give me nicer ones. But, I mean, not even saying that, like talking to God like that. I'm just like, I'm sorry for, you know, asking you to give me a softer, encouraging word because these people need the truth, you know. And I'm just like, okay, if they're going to not receive me, then, okay, I'll just go somewhere else where I am received.
Mm.
But
you're the lady from
that,
you're from Texas, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you're the lady who had I think her boyfriend was mentoring her or something like that.
Yeah.
Huh?
And on top of all of that, what I, like you said today, it's love, you know, because God first loved us. And ultimately, he does want me to still love on these people and still pray for them and to still just be who I am in him because they don't know. They're just deceived, and they think that they know who he is, but they don't. So I just have to keep continuously praying for their eyes to be opened and for, I mean, just keep pressing forward because it is really discouraging. I feel like I go to a Bible study and it's everything that they're saying, basically they're condemned and they're thinking, they're, and, I mean, these strongholds, these, I mean, this horrible, this bondage. And I'm just like, the word says this, you're not stuck. Jesus said it is finished, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, but I feel this. And it's, they just don't get it. But he's just like, you just keep seeing who you are in me and just keep loving them and praying for them. All I can think about is Daniel. I'm like, my prayers are going to come through regardless. I don't care if it's 10 years from now. I'm going to keep praying for my sisters. And that's it. And it's just pretty awesome.
Okay, I'm going to pray for you. I hear what you're saying, but I think there's a different focus for the Lord for you. I think the first thing is he's requiring you to walk as an example because the greatest testimony is not necessarily going to be our words. The greatest testimony is going to be our walk, the observation of our life. So people are watching your life, and you may not even realize it, but they are watching you. Because that's how God works, and that's the greatest testimony that a person can have. We are open epistles, read of all men. In other words, we're an open book, and there are people who see us even when we don't see them. So it's very important how we carry ourselves, how we conduct ourselves, how we live our life, you see? I saw a couple one time. They were not married, but they were acting like they were married in public. And so I saw them in church, and I said, "Whoa, you guys are saved?" And they said, "Yeah, why?" I said, "Well, I saw you at such and such a place, and you're conducting yourself this way, and this is an insult to God because you're not married. And so, you know, stop doing that until you get married." And so at first they didn't receive it, but then afterwards – the Holy Ghost convicted their heart, and then they came to me and said, "Pray for us, brother." And I said, "The best thing for you to do is stay away from each other until God speaks to you and tell you to get married. Because if you're around each other, you're weak in the flesh, and you're going to fall into sin, and it's going to destroy your testimony, and the devil is going to get victory and not God." So that was my counsel for them. So the reason I say that is to say this. The best testimony that any of us can have is a living testimony. how we walk, and how people see our lives. That's what's going to win those people over more than your words, because there are times when the words won't do it. But if they see love in us, if they see us walking that way, then they themselves will conform. They will even come to us and say, how do you do it? How do you live like that? How do you, I have a question for you. They will begin to ask you questions. You will even never have to go to them. So that's my prayer for you in the mighty name of Jesus, that he will deal with you in such a way in the Holy Ghost that your walk would be blameless. And as your walk is blameless, believe me, they will see Jesus and they will come to you in Jesus' name. Comprende?
Comprendo.
Hallelujah. I like that word.
Yeah. Thank you. I got it.
I know you got it, because God had me to explain it in a certain way, only because I was asking God as you were talking, God, how do you want me to say this? So he loves you. Don't ever think he doesn't love you, but the most important thing is how you walk before God.
Mm-hmm.
And he will cause these things to come to pass. Then there will be no frustration in your heart. God mm-hmm. will do it. All you have to do, just walk it, just live it. And people are watching you. They know who you are. They're watching you. Believe me, they are watching you. But just make sure that your walk is blameless. And when they see that your walk is blameless, they will come to you, because God himself will do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. God bless you, my dear. Huh?
Thank you.
Hello?
I couldn't hear you. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
Right now I'm kind of fasting and praying for, there's a girl that I know. She's not a believer, and she has terminal cancer. And actually, know her off of Facebook, and I guess I'm kind of discouraged a little, but at the same time, I feel like, I mean, even if she doesn't get healed, I know that this is what God wants me to do, but for some reason, it's still like, I don't know, it just like really hurts me, and it really, really bothers me, because, I mean, I think on the beginning of October, my bird died, and I was actually mad at God, because I thought he took my bird. But he told me it wasn't him that took me. It was the spirit of death that took my bird. So then all my anger went to the spirit of death, because I went and dug my little bird up and tried, I prayed and I cried and he didn't come back. And God told me that, that he wanted to comfort me. And that still really just hurt me, but I'm still mad at death. So I'm...
Well, let me say this to you quickly.
I'm just mad. It's like, what do I do? It's like, I don't want death to take her. I'm just like, she doesn't. If she goes, now, she's not going to go to heaven. So I'm like, I have to do something.
Well, this is what I'd like you to do. For time's sake, is it okay if I call you and then I can actually give you scripture on the things that... Okay, I'll get your information from Evangelist Bernard, just because of the sake of time. We have a time limitation, and I'll call you and I'll give you scripture, and then you'll understand exactly what the hand of the Lord is doing, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, God bless you, Joanna.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you, Sister Joanna. Amen. We're going to go to Evangelist Cummins. God bless you. Yeah, I see my girlfriend on the line, Sister Marcia. God bless you, Evangelist Cummins. Evangelist Cummins?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I just want to thank and praise God for the prophet.
Glory
David.
To God. Jesus.
I want to thank and praise God for God, for him allowing God to use him
Glory
as an instrument.
God. Thank you.
You know, they have, in the Bible, it talks about vessels of clay, silver, and gold.
Yes.
And I consider him as a vessel of gold, set aside for the master's use. And he's just a wonderful vessel of the Lord. And he allows the Lord to use him, no matter what obstacles come in his way, he allows the Lord to use him. Thank God for the love of God. When I lay here, I'm in rehab, And when I lay here and I think about things that I've done in the past, it humbles you.
Yes.
To love people and to forgive, and even to forgive yourself on many things. Even though we know the Lord forgave us, we yet
That's
have
right.
to even forgive ourselves. But I bless the Lord for you today. I enjoyed all that I heard on love and forgiveness and humbling yourself before your enemies. And I want to thank and praise God for Evangelist Bernard and for her love for the people. She loves people. And I thank God for her and that the Lord is using her in a very mighty way. Thank God for Sister Ruby. And just
mm-hmm.
God bless you all and that God just continue us in his love. These are the last days and it's time to work for the Lord. It's just a simple message that we have to give them, a simple message.
Mm-hmm.
And that message has to be given with love,
mm-hmm.
the birth, the death, and the resurrection.
Yes.
The gospel, just a simple gospel. And I thank God for the prophet Harris and his wife and all that was told to you. I felt it when they were telling you. I felt the spirit while they were giving you the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just bless the Lord for you in Jesus' name.
Evangelist Cummings, may I say a quick prayer for you?
Yes.
I just really felt that in my heart the Lord had did something special for you in this particular message. I felt that there was a release of a kind, a release even of maybe you don't sound as anxious anymore. It's like there was a release of tension and pressure and anxiety. And I believe the Lord is saying that you're ready now. You're ready.
Okay.
You're ready.
Okay.
You're ready.
Okay.
You're ready now.
Okay.
You understand that?
Yes.
Yeah, you're ready now. You see, God has a set time for everything, and he brings us to a particular place where he says now we're ready to receive what he wants to release to us.
I believe that.
Yes. Yes.
Because
you're ready
I've
now.
Been so busy. I stay so busy.
Mm.
And so I receive that.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for sending your word to heal my dear sister, as it is written in Psalms 107 and 20. You sent your word to deliver them from their destruction. We thank you for sending your word, even now, in Jesus' name, for healing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. We're going to area code 517. Sister Marcia, God bless you. Sister Marcia? Amen. Maybe she has a phone on me. Amen. We're going to go to Sister Myrna. Amen. Out of St. Lucia. Amen. God bless
hello.
You.
Hello.
God bless you, woman of God.
Yes, hello. I was so blessed today.
Did you get something out of the message today, Sister Myrna?
Yes, I did. At least I have a forgiving heart. That's one thing I have. I believe in people doing me wrong or I doing somebody wrong and asking the person for forgiveness.
Oh, my God. That's good.
Yeah.
So you have your love walk together.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm just talking to somebody who hurt me very badly.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just telling the person I'm not mad with them anymore.
Now, say that again.
I'm just talking to somebody who hurt me and hurt me very badly.
Yes.
I'm just telling him I forgive him. I don't hurt him. I'm not mad at him anymore.
Yeah, you forgive him, but don't open the door again.
Yeah.
Don't now one thing you have to do with wisdom and maybe I didn't make this clear, you know, if someone hurts you, you release them. You release
yeah.
them by forgiving them, but you don't invite them to come back into your life because if they did it once, they'll do it again.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So you don't, even though you forgive them, you release
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
You release them. Don't give place to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you release them or forgive them, that's fine. But you don't
yeah.
allow them to come back again because you're opening the door to the devil. So you have to, I'm sorry that I didn't mention this, and please forgive me. Oh, my God, please
yeah.
forgive me. But the wisdom of God is, when you forgive the person, that doesn't mean that you invite them back into your life.
Okay.
Yeah. You forgive them and you move forward. You don't go back.
Mm-hmm.
God never sends you backwards.
Yeah.
He only sends you forward.
Yeah.
Be very careful. The enemy is very cunning. So it's fine to forgive,
mm-hmm.
but you release the person. And you move forward. You don't go back and entangle yourself with a yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you already know that, but my God, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll put more damage to yourself. So forgive the person, absolutely. Forgive them,
yeah.
but you have to cut them off, you know. I forgive you for doing what you did. I forgive you for whatever the situation is. I forgive you in Jesus' name. But then that's it. You
mm-hmm.
don't go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's trouble. That's danger. God does not send you people to hurt you. God does not send you people to wound you. God's people
mm-hmm.
carry the spirit of love.
Yeah.
That was someone you chose.
Mm-hmm.
And God was showing you that that's not his choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to let it go.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes, I understand you.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to go to the most five-star resort. I want you to
yes.
go to the five-star resort, and I want you to apply there for a position.
Mm-hmm.
And anoint yourself with oil before you go.
Yeah.
And as you go, ask God for his favor.
Okay.
And you meet with the manager and you fill out the application, whether it's paper or online. And as you
yeah.
do that, you pray. And if it's paper, they interview you. They're going to call you for the interview. And when you go for the interview, you fast that day. You fast that day.
Mm-hmm.
And see the hand of the Lord.
Okay.
But I caution you, please, do not go backwards. If you forgive the person, it doesn't mean you invite them back into your life. You forgive them and you move forward.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. Amen. We're going area code 707. The last four of your number is 6046. God bless you. Area code 707.
Because, yes, please do. Because I'm under a senior advantage program with KIND.
Amen, amen. Well, we're going to Sister Doris and then Sister Kim. I'll try to get Sister Marcia. She's still on the line. I'm not getting a response from her. Evangelist Doris, God bless you.
God bless you, too. I'm so blessed by this word today. This was just right on time.
My God.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. I was harboring some anger in my heart against a significant other, and I had to. This message just helped me release.
My God.
Totally.
My
it
God.
Helped me release.
Thank
and
you.
And I'm going to talk to the prophet. If you don't mind, I will call you later.
Glory to God.
Yes. I sent a message to Evangelist yesterday so that I
yeah.
can get your number. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I got to get
thank
get it
you
through.
For the message. Okay.
Well, to Jesus belongs the glory I noticed that when you had told me about the incident that happened in your church on Sunday, I had noticed that there was maybe something there that would allow quickly a response of anger. I don't know the source of it or where it comes from, but dismiss it. Dismiss it immediately so that it can never grow.
Okay.
Dismiss it immediately so it can never grow. Whether it comes from childhood, whether it's from parents, whatever it's from, immediately dismiss it so that, remember, as I was teaching, I said, if the love is not in its full capacity, the heart will harbor anger.
Yes, I know. I heard.
The heart, yes, you heard that.
Yes.
The heart cannot harbor anger and house love at the same time. You must dismiss one and fill it with the other.
Yeah.
Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask Jesus. Oh, my God. We'll do it now. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, agree with me, Sister Doris.
Amen.
Father, Sister Doris and I agree with Jesus that he will now surgically remove this seed of anger.
Yeah.
This seed of anger, my God, that's it. That this seed of anger will go in the
yeah.
name of Jesus. My God from heaven. And that you now will replace it with the love of Christ, both in her heart and in her mind, that she would walk accordingly, and that she would not be afraid, and that she would not fear, but that she would only love. Because if you're loving, no one can hurt you. No matter what they do, if you're loving, they cannot hurt you. When you're loving, when you are loving, they can't hurt you. Jesus loved. They did him wrong. He forgave them. Father, take it out of her heart. Take it out of her heart. Don't reject love. Take it out of her heart. All of it goes in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. I'll get those numbers to you, Prophet David.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Sister Doris. Amen. Let me go back to Sister Marcia. Marcia? Okay, well, we'll go to Sister Kim. God bless you, Sister Kim.
God bless you, Benoit Prophet and Sister Ruby. Truly, it's been a blessing all week, and I just thank God I've been able to get on. It just uplifted my spirit, and it just taught me so much, and it just continued to be a blessing every day that I get on. I'm getting on expecting something, and every time I get on, I get what I'm expecting, and I just praise God for that. I bless God for the word and the message and for the man of God. It's just truly been a blessing because before I got on Evangelist Benoit line, I used to be, you know, depressed, stressed, and just angry and bitter, but through this line and this prayer group and stuff, it's just been a blessing to me in my life. And I just thank God that he's changing me into the person that he wants me to be. And I just pray that his will be done in my life and not my will. And even with the people at my job that has been frustrating me, I still come home every night and I still pray for them and I still love them and I still say, Lord, I will treat them the way you would have me to treat them, and I won't talk bad about them or down them or nothing. I'm going to still pray that you will bless them and their families. So as the words say in Proverbs 16:7, when a man waits, please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with him. So
that's
if I please him, God, then he'll make my enemies be at peace with me. So I'm going to continue to do the will of God and let him fight my battle. So I just thank God for the word. I thank God for the message and everything. God bless you all. God bless you. God bless you.
Sister Kim, it sounds like you're getting stronger.
Jesus, I am. I just feel so much better. I feel so much better. Thank God. I praise God for it. It has been a blessing. It has been a blessing. Usually I be at work and I have to get on late or I miss some of the message, but I've been able to get on and just listen while I'm doing my work, and I thank God. I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
My God, you really sound good. Keep up the good work.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. We're going to go to area code 707 again. The last four of your numbers, 6046. God bless you. Area code 707. Okay, let me try to get back to Marcia. If not, I thank God for the word today. We're going to turn it back over into the hands of Prophet Davis. God bless you. But before we go, I want to open up the line and let Sister Ruby. Sister Ruby haven't been feeling good today, so I want Prophet Davis to pray for her today.
Amen.
Mr. Ruby.
Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Thank you, Lord.
I will trust in you.
Thank you,
God. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs, beautiful songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I'll trust in you.
Thank you.
I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Glory to Jesus. My God. I feel healing being released in the atmosphere. I feel healing being released. In this glorious atmosphere, just receive your healing. Receive your healing now. Receive your healing now in the name of Jesus. Receive, just receive. My God, there it is. Strength, Lord, strength. Strength, Lord. Strength. Strength. I release the anointing upon her life.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
This was some kind of, this was a very interesting day today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Very interesting indeed. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Do you guys feel the same peace that I feel over here?
I feel it.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my God, my God. Oh, God, you're good. God, you're good. Evangelist Bernard, you glory to, thank God for you. In the strength of your peace. Peace, sweet peace. Thank you for your peace, sweet peace. Thank you for your sweet peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You need to be healed, Sister Ruby.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Do you need to be healed?
Yes. The peace just came over me, too.
Well, that's the key.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, that's the key right there.
Peace.
All you got to do is receive now. Sandarai vayeto roko kori andarai. Shiravasikai. Shukarasarai. Hiravasando El Shaddai. Ilavario Sandai. Kita beto roka rasaki. Shendaraya leo Jesus, release your peace in the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Only receive. Thank you, Jesus. It's done.
Thank you.
It's done. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. Glory, we love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word you sent to Evangelist Bernard. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My God from heaven. Evangelist Bernard.
Yes, hallelujah.
The Lord
chose this day to declare unto you something you needed to know. I thank God for giving you that word.
Hallelujah.
Because I know it takes the pressure off.
Thank you, God.
I know it takes the pressure off. And I felt a weight come off you. That you don't have to carry that thing no more. Because now you know.
Oh, Jesus.
Because now you know.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
My God from heaven.
I was
just reading and talking to the Lord about this last night. God told Abraham, shall I hide the thing that I shall do from him?
Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Oh, glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. I bless you today, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank
you're
you,
God. You're awesome.
Hallelujah.
What a word. What a word from God.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you,
what
God.
A word from
Thank
God. What a word from God. What a word from God.
I received that word today. You know,
yes.
Sometimes you expect to receive something from someone else. You don't know how God is going to send you what you need. You know, we got special people that we look to, special people that we tune into.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm reminded of Balaam.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I had him to bless the people of God instead of cursing.
That's right. That's right.
God. Hallelujah. We look to the wrong folks sometimes. Well, you don't know what they're praying. Hallelujah. They could be praying against you, not for you. Yeah, you don't know, Shia.
My God.
But the Lord had Prophetess Harrison and Bishop Harrison to come on this line. Ah, hallelujah. He didn't know what was heavy on my heart. He wasn't
right.
on the line. Yes.
That's right.
He knows my sister's situation, but God had him to speak a word. Yeah, glory. Because I needed a release before I leave. Yeah, oh, God, I have my answer.
That's it. That's it.
Hallelujah. And Apostle Shields. We defend that the Apostle Shields was on the line. And he said, in about 3 weeks, God going to give you an answer. I'm going to show you. And I felt that release, just like you said, Father
yes.
David.
Yes.
Release
yes.
in my spirit. Hallelujah. Because God knows what he has for me to do. And I can't be bound. I have to be free. Thank you.
Yes, you got to be free. That's it.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
It. That's the word of the hour. That's the word of the hour. Freedom.
Oh,
glory.
Oh, my shackles are gone. I bless the Lord for that word today, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I bless you. I thank God because God gave you this subject.
Yes.
Why
yes.
seek ye the living among the dead? God has put his seal of approval.
Yes.
On these messages from Monday to Wednesday. I didn't have nobody scheduled but Friday.
Ain't God good?
So
ain't
I
God
can
good.
Say God did this thing.
Yeah, he did it.
Sometimes
did it.
They think it's you. Hallelujah. They don't look at the God in me.
That's right.
They just look at that physical being.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But they don't know.
Hmm.
They don't know your story. That's all
That's
I
right.
say. I'll end it on that.
Yeah.
They don't know your story.
Glory.
God is not true. He'll honor his promises for his promises are yea, and his promises are amen.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Yes.
God has the final say in your life.
Thank you,
God
Jesus.
Has.
To travel the world, stretch forth your hand. And I had been praying. I didn't get a chance to tell him, but I had been praying for that kind of anointing. I said, Lord, I don't even want to lay hands on the people.
Ah, Jesus.
And he said, I see you stretching forth your hand and the people getting slain and going out under the power of God.
That's what he said. Now, see, this here is what needs to be downloaded on MP3. You know, and sometimes we don't want to hear people talking about sowing. You know what? You said something so profound this week, and it was, anything that doesn't grow is dead.
That's right.
So if you have a ministry and it's not growing, guess what? You
that's
need
it.
To resurrect that thing.
That's right. That's
Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. You know what? We don't have no gimmicks. All we have to give to the people is the unadulterated word of God.
That's it.
We don't have no gimmicks. It's nobody calling folks and finding out what's going on with their life and then telling it to Prophet David. Ah, glory to God. There's no gimmicks.
That's right. No
gimmicks,
no jokes. My God.
No gimmicks, but there's demonstration.
That's it.
Power, and the only way we can demonstrate is through the Holy Ghost. We people need to, that's why we don't have no power, because folks ain't got the Holy Ghost.
That's what it is.
They're in the buildings, and then there's no power there, because guess what? Nobody is teaching them that they need the Holy Ghost. They need the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Without it, you're a dead man.
Mm.
You're a dead woman. Walking, and there's no power.
Dead man.
Oh, I'm done. This has been a glorious 3 days, Prophet Davis, I tell you.
Yes.
I don't have the words to express what God has spoken through his vessel.
Thank
in the
you,
likeness
Jesus.
Of yourself.
That's
being
it.
Through to me.
Glory
it's
to
God. Been marvelous.
Amen.
It's been
Amen.
Marvelous.
Amen. And I want to thank you for yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's been a powerful thing for me. I've learned so much myself studying for this. And the way the Lord took me today, he just said, no, calm down and teach. Teach. And so I didn't go off like I normally do. I didn't go in that area of the spirit, but God, and then as I was teaching, he just kind of, he said, I want you, and I even sat down. Normally I never sit down, but I sat down and I taught today, and as I was teaching, he just took me into the direction of love, saying this whole thing of walking or seeking after life is about love.
Love, my God.
And those that have the absence of love, they're dead. Whew. Because the only thing that can resurrect your life is God's Spirit. And God's Spirit is love.
Oh, glory to God. Thank you.
Yeah. They don't have love. They're dead.
Well, Prophet Davis, we're going to be working, and I ask the people to sow. We want to see these messages on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. And it's not promoting me. It's promoting the gospel.
That's right.
And that's what we need to do, promote the gospel. And if you promote the gospel, God says he will bring you before queens and kings, not to be puffed up, not to be arrogant, but to demonstrate further the glory of God.
Yes.
Amen. So we're looking for the saints of God, the people, the listeners, those of you, I don't know if anybody was on the chat room, I'm going to ask Sister Ruby, but we're looking for you all to sow into this ministry. We have some teams that we got it birthed in our spirit. And I just believe that now is the time to get these things done. So God bless you, Papa Davis. We love
God bless
you. Appreciate you.
Amen.
Thank God for the sacrifices.
Amen.
I see Marcia. Maybe she don't want to talk or her phone is on mute. But that's my friend out of Lansing, Michigan. Amen. You prayed for her the other day.
Yes,
amen.
Is she still there? Is she still there? Let's find
She's
out.
On the line, Sister Marcia. I see her number on the line. I don't know if she's on mute and just has been listening.
I don't know,
but she's still on the line.
Well, you call her and find out how she's doing.
Amen.
And then just let me know.
Amen.
I appreciate that. Thank you. God bless you and Sister Ruby.
Amen.
I'm going to lunch now.
Sister Ruby?
Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah.
Yes, and I just wanted to say God bless you, Evangelist Bernard and Sister Ruby. I appreciate what you guys have done this week. I know you were praying and praying for me and praying that everything went well. And we give God the glory because he has done all things well. So I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to go to lunch, and I'm just going to meditate on what has taken place these last 3 days. Because truly today, I'm telling you, when the evangelist Harrison got on the phone, I knew it was an honor and a blessing. That's why I humbled myself and just listened. She said some great things. But when her husband, when the bishop got on the phone, God began to deal with him in a way that was an unusual anointing because there was a peace and there was a calm. And he simply spoke what thus saith the Lord, and God began to reveal to him spiritual things.
Yeah,
and the things that he said, I know as a witness, they're going to come to pass.
My God.
So,
Amen.
And then he said something, one last thing. He said this. He said, I had a prayer request that was going to be answered very, very soon.
Uh-huh.
My God from heaven. I've been asking about that thing. I said, Lord, I want my very soon. I'm just getting this from the Holy Ghost now. Very, very soon is before the end of the year. He said very, very soon. Two varies. Two varies. Now, one very is, you know, that's a wide range of soon. You know, that could be 5 years, very soon, you know. But when he said very, very soon, that's a very, very short period of time. Usually that denotes days, weeks, or just a few months. That usually denotes days, weeks, or just a few months. I believe it's between weeks and a month. That's what I believe.
Amen. Maybe sooner than that.
Will be to you according to your...
Man, boy, my faith is tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. But you know, you've been so obedient to the Holy Ghost. You've just been so obedient, Prophet Michael Davis. And I just love your spirit that the Lord has put in you. And it's just been a lot of bishops, pastors, Dr. Singleton. But it's something about your spirit connected to my spirit. Hey, hallelujah.
God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And Lord, is it in him? It's just anointing. And every time the Lord allows you to come on this broadcast, he takes you higher and higher. You're anointed with singing. You're anointed with seeking the Lord and praying for people. He will give you a song, or he'll give you a melody. He'll give you whatever. But it's a blessing. I say, Lord, have him on here, Lord. Keep him on. When you said you wasn't coming on, you were busy. I said, oh, Lord, I ain't going to talk to Davis. I'm going to talk to you about him. Amen.
God must be listening.
I peace when the Evangelist Bernard asked you to pray for me. So I felt, oh, help us, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But Jesus Christ is awesome, and he abides in the ones that are obedient to him and love him, going forth and love his people. And you have truly blessed God's people this week. I know I'm in the number, so I don't know about anybody else, but I just thank for the anointing that's flowed this week, but all other weeks too. But I'm just saying, for my spirit,
my
spirit is like I'm connected to your spirit, and it's like,
hallelujah,
Lord, it's just so anointing. I thank you, and I praise. Hallelujah, I praise you, anointing them people. Hallelujah.
Well, you know, you guys are my friends, and you have liberty to call me at any time.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the liberty that God has given us, because there is a friendship there, and there is a kindred spirit. And Evangelist Bernard and I, we developed that in the beginning. And Sister Ruby, you came in, and glory to God, it's like you are my sisters, both of you. You're family to me, because those are my brothers and sisters who do the will of God.
Glory.
Hey, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Jesus, God. The glory.
Yes.
All the
glory. Yes.
Glory, I feel like shouting. Hallelujah.
Glorious time. We've had a glorious time. Glorious time. And I really just want to thank God for all of our new listeners, and especially those that call out of Lansing, Minister Aaron Singleton is just inviting the people out of Lansing, and we thank God for them. The young lady out of St. Lucia, she befriended me on Facebook, and thank God for Sister Doris always tuning in and letting her clients listen to the word of God. God is going to bless you for that, Sister Doris. Amen. So we just thank God for everything that he's done these 3 days. It has certainly been a blessing. So we're going to close out with God Held Us Together.
Amen.
By Cardi Cortez. God bless you, Father.
Okay, God bless you.
With
Cardi. God bless you.
Tell your story.
So many wonder how I survived. I can't say it was easy, but I'm still alive. God never left me, he stayed by my side. And I am so grateful he kept me. Struggle. Listen, I can't even tell you all I've been through. The times I was down and didn't know what to do. I almost But the Lord came and he rescued me, rescued me. God, you pulled me through. I'm so glad your grace, that's why I'm still here. I almost destroyed my whole life, but your
grace
wouldn't let me go.
I am still here.
Pulled me out of my own. Through it all.